And welcome to another part in our series, Grow Your Own Business. We're talking e-tailing, e-commerce, retailing, whatever you want to call it. But it's been fascinating so far talking about this space of e-commerce for SMEs. If you have not watched it yet, we have other modules in the series that speak about if you want to consider e-commerce as a way of running your business and then starting out, growing and then accelerating. I'm Catherine Young. I'm the owner of Thinkable Consulting. I feel like you are right at home here talking about really growing SMEs. But more importantly, we have Cameron Burt back in studio with us. Thank you, Cameron, indulging us yet again. This the e-tailing, retailing, e-commerce is really becoming like an ultra-marathon series, almost like your comrades running.
Hello, Catherine. You're wonderful to be here. You allude to my comrades running. Your comrades, the Comrades Marathon is a race that is run from Durban to Pietermaritzburg and alternative years from Pietermaritzburg down to Durban. It's 88 kilometers of many, many, I can't even call them hills, they're actually mountains. And of course, I'm not, you know, the rock stars of running are the Ethiopians and the Kenyans. They just in a league of their own and the subject of a lot of research.
Yeah.
I'm not in that league at all. I'm one of the plotters that comes in right at the back, but I've managed to finish a couple of them.
But you finished them. That is fantastic. So, Cameron, I always have respect for anybody who can do that amount of running for that long. What? It must take you a day?
It's a day, yeah. 12 hours. Just under 12 hours.
Wow. Yeah. Well, much respect. SMEs, if that doesn't give you any encouragement for keeping on, then I don't know. We want to continue the talk about e-commerce, and specifically now where an SME is in the stages of growing their business.
Okay.
Can you share some of your thoughts?
Okay, so in the space that I do a lot of consulting into large companies, where I help them with their SME development programs,
yeah,
the enterprise development programs. This is now in the third module of how to grow your e-commerce business. So
yes,
we spoke about understanding the environment, we spoke about how to start off your e-commerce business, and now we're going to talk about growing that business. And essentially, while there are some unique considerations and there are some strange things that can be done in the e-commerce environment, at the end of the day, it is still a business that we've got to build, and we've got to think about the four P's, and that's
yes,
it's a simple business model, and it's been simple for many, many years, and there's a reason for that is simply because it works. You've got to think about product, price, place, and promotion. So what I'll do in this module, we'll talk about product, price, and place, and then how to accelerate your e-commerce business, we'll look at then the promotion side of the business, okay?
Okay.
So
product.
Let's talk about product, okay? So one of the interesting things about e-commerce businesses is that you can have different types of product. If you go into a normal traditional retailer, you can buy a thing that you can touch and feel and you
right,
see what the price is, and you can try it on if it's a garment, and you can then walk to the checkout and you can pay for it and walk out of the store. In the e-commerce environment, you have the opportunity to sell products, and you don't have to be there. Your store doesn't have to be open, you don't have to have a checkout assistant, and you don't have to have a fitting room that has to be open and manned
yes,
by somebody. Okay, you can sell products while you are asleep when you're on
yes,
the website, which is a fantastic place to be, to earn income while you're sleeping. And that is a place where we all should be aiming to get towards, earning
yes,
passive income. So let's look at the different types of products. You've got the virtual products, so online courses like ebooks, etc. These are very cost effective and they're easy to deliver. They're also easy on the environment because you're not chopping down a rainforest or two to print a million books.
Yeah.
And you can deliver it over the internet, which makes it a lot more, and it's immediate as well. So I see the book, I buy it.
Yes.
Okay. And we all think of Amazon, but there's a whole plethora of other things that you can write. You can write white papers, you can, you know, your research documents, you can write how-to editorials, etc. You can become a blogger and write about your time when you were in the South Pole or something along those
yes,
lines, and you
yes,
can, you're trying to drive eyeballs to your store.
Right.
The other one, of course, is your traditional product, which is your physical product, where you either manufacture something yourself or you buy something and you then sell it at a profit.
Yes.
So that is pretty simple. You source products.
And I would imagine in that one, distribution becomes...
That is an issue. We discussed it in our first module where distribution of your product or fulfillment of your product is going to be key in this.
Right.
One. Okay. Something like an insurance product over the net is a totally different thing, you know.
Yes.
For free, basically, yes. Delivery. But a pair of shoes, you're going to have to get them and get it sent to a particular, to your client,
right.
Whoever that might be. Okay, then the next type of product is services. Okay, so this is where you really do not want to be. It's a good way of making money, but you're essentially selling your hours for money.
Mm.
Okay, so you could become like on Elance, you could become a freelancer, and you could sell, somebody wants some accounting work done, so you can,
yes,
do some accounting work for,
yes,
them. Or somebody might want some research done, desktop research done, and you can then sell your hours,
yes,
on that. And you could set up your online business. This is what you do, and you can attract people to your online business. I do this kind of business. And then of course the other way of product that you sell are eyeballs. Okay, so you're attracting a whole lot of eyeballs to your website, so you sell them to potential advertisers, and then you can either then just make money out of the number,
right,
of eyeballs that you bring into your site, or affiliate marketing, where you earn a commission based on the number of click throughs to that other advertiser's site, and they buy through there, and then you end up, you know, it could be a vet.
Yes.
Who,
yes,
has got dog food or,
yeah,
you know, pet food on their site that they buy directly from the manufacturer of the pet food, and they earn a small commission because they've directed the customer from their website onto the manufacturer's,
right,
website for pet,
right,
food.
So what you're saying on product then? So the first P that we're discussing is product. What we're saying is there are products. The one is a virtual product. The other one is a tangible physical one. Those are the two products. You could be selling services,
hours,
which is really your hours that you're selling. So you are coaching online or mentoring online or whatever that is, and then some real eyeballs. So advertising and through affiliate marketing, you earn some revenue.
That's 100%.
Those are the types of products,
yeah,
that SMEs.
Yeah,
got it. So price. That's
okay.
The next P.
This is pretty important because the structure of your e-commerce store, the way that you set it up, one of the strategic considerations that I mentioned in the previous module, is very important, because if you're going to differentiate on price, the structure of your business, of your e-commerce business, is going to be crucial. So if you're just going to be an extension of a retail store, it could be the likes of a Pick and Pay in South Africa, or Tesco's or whatever, you then become an online extension, you become another store.
Right.
Okay. But price, if you're going to be an SME starting out in the e-commerce environment, you want to be able to, one of your differentiators is probably going to be price.
Right.
So you're going to work out of your garage, you're going to work out of your lounge or your bedroom, etc. So it's key to make sure that you are as cost effective as possible and costs are tight, that you can pass those cost savings on to your client.
Yes.
At a later stage, you can then, of course, then take those cost savings into your own back pocket, so it makes your margins wider.
Yeah.
Okay, so just a couple of the typical online retailers out there. You've got Amazon, which is a famous one. They operate from vast warehouses, so you can't go into an Amazon store and buy anything, but you can, and they sell virtually everything these days. They've also moved into selling secondhand goods. You know, so you as an SME could actually end up setting up a little site on your own, and you could earn revenue like that. They do all the they do. The payment portals, everything is done by them. The advertiser, they're attracting huge amounts of eyeballs to their and potential clients to their sites. So you might have a collection of old secondhand books that are, you know, unique. Not many people have these. It could be old magazines that you know, that are collector's items that you could then sell through Amazon that they don't have stock of, but you have the stock, but you just don't have the wherewithal to set up a site. So you just go into the Amazon site and you set yourself up as a secondhand retailer.
I know that
sounds bad, but
no, absolutely. If there are any SMEs out there who want to sell old Marvel comics books, my husband will be your first customer, I'm sure. Yes.
That's a huge market. Okay.
Yes.
Toys,
yes,
from toys and comics from the old days.
Yeah.
Then the Ocado model is a UK based business. There's also no supermarket, but this is really supermarket shopping, so you can they just operate out of also out of warehouses, essentially, but the entire business is online. You can order and then you can get the product like that. Tesco's in the UK have done, they essentially the same as what Pick and Pay in South Africa has done. You order something online, you get into the portal will then dispatch your order to your nearest supermarket store.
Oh, okay.
And then they will collect, they will put the basket for you together, so they'll get the tomatoes, your bananas, etc., put it together. They'll dispatch a motorbike or a scooter or a small van to your work address or to the delivery address, and that'll reduce their costs. They don't have to set up a separate warehouse or anything. Also, their distribution costs are much cheaper because you're much closer to the point of dispatch.
Yes,
so you don't have a separate warehouse or dispatch service over there. And then, of course, you've got the classical retailers that have just taken their traditional bricks and mortar and they've created an online presence.
Do they price those differently?
They price exactly the same. So they treat those stores almost the same as a regular store.
Okay.
So in South Africa, we've got a retailer called Mr. Price. In the first year after they had opened their online presence, that online store, it's a big warehouse in an industrial area, so really cheap rentals, etc. They don't have to have fancy lighting or air conditioning, etc. It was the 17th largest store in the chain, and they've got a couple of hundred stores. So very big business for them. So the same product that you would get in the store, same price, etc. So that store would get the same allocation as any regular store. They would then... The only difference is that the customer has got the convenience of shopping online and delivery to their people that yourself that hate going shopping in malls.
Right.
This suits you.
Okay, great. So there are different, so what you're saying is there are different types of business models that you could consider within the e-commerce space that would influence your pricing.
Absolutely. So pricing is key, and the huge advantage to the potential customer, to the consumer online, is that they can compare.
Yes.
They don't have to walk from store to store to store.
That's right.
Or drive from mall to mall to mall.
That's
or
right.
To see different cars or different insurance advisors. They can do it all from their mobile phone or from their desktop or wherever they are. So price is going to be key. And there are businesses that are now being built up all over the world. Like Hippo Insurance is one of them, where you can, they're comparable sites where you can compare prices, and they make money out of comparing prices on different products.
Exactly, you're reading my mind. I was just thinking about the site Travel Start. It's a travel site where they also compare. Cheap Flights is another one where they compare the different prices.
Safari Now.
That is very interesting. And I would imagine then those sites in themselves set up their own pricing model based on comparative shopping.
Because they know what the best prices are.
Fascinating. So talk a little bit more to us about the high-low versus everyday shopping
prices. Okay, so this goes back to the traditional retailing. So for those SMEs that are looking at doing a traditional retailing, taking a product and selling it online, this talks to that. So you got, I mean, if you go into the web and you just search for pricing models, okay, you're going to get... There's a wide array of pricing models. In fact, it's a module in Stirling University in Scotland, is the retail MBA university in the world, and they've even got a module on pricing, how to price. Okay, but there are essentially two pricing models. One is high-low, and the one is the everyday low price. So the high-low pricing model, strangely enough, is the one that is employed, generally speaking, by your higher-end department stores. So they discount their products. So they mark it up.
Yes.
A very high price, so they can mark it down. So
right.
You walk in, there's always some kind of discount activity happening in the 30% off sale or half price sale, whatever it is, this weekend only, etc., etc. Whereas your discount stores, the low priced stores, they position themselves as everyday low price retailers. So their prices will always be the same. They won't mark it down for that particular weekend. What they do, of course, is they have end of season sales to clear out their old stock so they can buy new stock for the new season. So those are the two pricing strategies. You have to figure out how, before you go into your model, what model you're going to, or into your business, what model of pricing you're going to adopt. And be aware that there are different kinds of pricing models. You can go into the hybrid type of this as well. There are various types of pricing. But it's essential that this is your pricing model. And what is key is that your pricing model is fairly obvious to the consumer, and it is transparent. There are no hidden costs, and what they see is what they get.
Yeah, and I suppose then consistency in pricing would be important. Once you've decided the model, whether it's a hybrid or high-low or everyday low price, but you get known for it, I would imagine.
So that is one of the first comments that I made in the series of modules that we're doing, is that consistency is key. So the customers are not confused when they come in and you've changed the color from purple to green.
Yes.
And the font is basically the same. You can make small tweaks, so that is why there's a lot of strategic considerations that you've got to figure out before you get going.
Yes.
And pricing is a very key model that you've got to figure out.
Okay, I would imagine so. I mean, there's some people who shop on price only, and some people who don't mind shopping for higher prices, but the consistency would be key. Because there's also a link, I would imagine, Cameron, of price and quality. Be that wrong or right, there could be that link.
People always equate price with value,
yeah.
Price with quality, but there is the whole value equation.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, it's an MBA subject,
yeah,
in its own right. Okay,
yeah.
How you price product, okay?
Yeah.
And there's a level where people are, they attach a value to a certain product. So for a very wealthy person, a $200 pair of shoes is a bargain,
yeah.
And for a very poor person, a $20 pair of shoes is way too expensive.
Correct.
For them. They can rather buy.
So it's about
food.
The value.
It's a value equation.
Exactly. Place.
Okay, so we mentioned place in our previous model about how to start your e-commerce site, but this is essentially your storefront, and you have to be sure that when a potential customer comes into your store, that you have consistency for a start, that it is appealing to the eye and it is appealing to that particular target market.
Yeah.
You mentioned your 25-year-old young funky males.
Yeah.
If you're selling spectacles to old ladies, they're not going to find that particular site
yes,
too appealing. They'll pull out. It has to be usable, so navigation is key. If I want to go back, if I want to go, jump to another department, all those navigation tools are key. The fortunate thing is that all the resources out there that are available to people who want to build a website. There are templates available. You can just go in,
mm-hmm,
and build a website. And navigation is obviously one of the,
mm-hmm,
key components of any good website. So make sure that your website is very easily negotiable. And then, of course, reliability.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that your website is hosted by a reliable hoster, that they're not going to be down, fixing, tinkering,
yeah,
in the background with screwdrivers, etc. So when a customer comes in 2 o'clock in the morning, that your website is up and,
yeah,
they can go in and they can buy whatever they need,
yeah,
to buy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, security is hugely important. People are giving away, think about this, they're giving away money before they've received anything.
That's right.
So there's in fact, not even a stranger, they don't even know what you look like,
mm,
unless you put your face up somewhere,
mm,
on the site.
Yeah.
So, you could be a real crook, but they don't know that.
Yeah.
So you have to build trust and credibility into the site, and you have to be able to ensure that people are quite comfortable with giving away their credit card details, and you're going to make sure that they are fairly sure that they're going to get product in return for that.
Fascinating. So what I'm hearing you say on Place is don't go and build the website yourself from scratch. There are many templates out there that could get you there quicker. These templates have built in very often secure and reliable in the background that you can use.
So the payment portals for a start.
Yes.
You've got PayPal, you've got Peach Payments.
Yeah.
That enables you to build your store very quickly, and you just plug in via an API. And another option is to utilize software as a service.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a company called ShopStar, where they are essentially a shopping mall with a whole lot of different crafters. They've each got their own storefront within ShopStar.
Mm-hmm.
So go and have a look at ShopStar, where you pay the ShopStar portal a small amount per month. It's a couple of dollars a month, and that's how they make their money. They host shop fronts essentially,
yes,
but they,
yes,
take care of all of the payment systems in the background. It's all there ready for you, and they can even help you with setting up the design of your store and help you with fulfillment in terms of delivering your product as well.
That's
so that's amazing. Their business model is software as a service,
yeah,
SaaS. And you go in and you make use of this service,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that.
Fascinating. We've just recently seen research done by PwC where SMEs are saying that access to funding is important, but access to markets is even more important. So if they can get access to customers, they could actually grow their businesses. And for me, this plays beautifully into the space of B2C, business to consumer.
Yes, absolutely. And by using the software as a service, you don't have a huge upfront capital cost.
Yes.
So you just pay a small monthly fee.
Exactly.
Most of these guys will, there might be a small setup fee, but generally speaking, they just start from month one. You pay X amount of dollars per month, and it's really not a huge amount, because their business model is they'll rather have 2,000 shop fronts in their portal that are earning them a couple of dollars a month.
Correct.
Than having one or two that are giving them a huge amount. So that is their model, and they'll do that pretty. So it reduces your startup cost, which is key, because you want to get your product to market.
That's right.
And they're attracting eyeballs to market. We all know that malls attract a lot of people. Shoppers go to malls rather than going to a store standing in the middle of nowhere on the highway between two towns in a rural area.
Yeah. And then, of course, Microsoft Azure is a great cloud platform.
It's a wonderful cloud platform.
Yeah.
It's secure. It backs up all your work immediately that it's done. And a nuclear bomb can fall on your house or your business or your office, but your business has been backed up into a cloud farm somewhere in Ireland or in Holland or somewhere
So
security is huge. And it's also highly customizable and huge amount of functionality. You don't even have to be a tech guru or to be able to write code.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and it's really plug and play, and there are a whole lot of how-to tutorials. Microsoft Azure is just an amazing cloud platform that you can go and build your website on it. And if you've developed your website on a different platform in a different coding language, you can still migrate it and host it on Microsoft Azure, and it's again a monthly cost. So it's not a huge upfront cost.
Yeah.
There's a small monthly cost that you pay for.
That's absolutely awesome. And for those, actually, as we're speaking, I'm thinking for those SMEs who are not yet BizSpark members, and if you're in the tech startup space, you may want to check it out. www.microsoft.com. Search for BizSpark. Become a member. It's 3 years of really fantastic free Azure hosting in different categories. Coming back to place, so there are a couple of key components that we need to consider when we talk about place. Can you help us with that a little bit?
So this is now kind of building the physical store. Okay,
yes.
So it just, you know, can't happen on your laptop. You've got
That's
to be connected
right.
in and plugged into the wider internet.
Yeah.
So domain is the name that identifies your website. So you've got to make sure, as I mentioned previously, whether you're going to go with the .com or .net or with your local country domain name.
Yeah.
That is pretty key. It also should be something that's fairly easy to spell, and it's going to come up quite high in your search engine optimization strategies. So things that are very colloquial, that are very local, we have some very difficult languages in Africa that are not spoken anywhere else. It might be part of your marketing strategy to be unique and exotic. Something I bought something from Africa.
Yes.
But if it's too difficult for somebody from America or Holland to understand it, or even from China, rather than make it simple and easy to understand. Hosting, this is the server that your site lives on, and this is where Azure comes in as well. You need to pay your provider a monthly fee to host your site, okay? Because you can't build it on your laptop or on your mobile phone. It has to be hosted somewhere. They build all the fail-safe mechanisms into it, and they've got backups, etc., to make sure that you've got a 24-hour business per day, per week, per month.
So if we equate that to back to bricks and mortar, that's sort of the land, right?
That is where the land is, and you're going to pay that rental
right.
fee, basically,
right.
to be on there. Okay, and then, of course, you've got your theme. When you're talking about your website, I've spoken about it before, and must be there are many themes that you can get off various hosting website or resources that are available, and the way that your navigation works, etc., the look and feel, you've got to look at all of these things. It is a bridge between the your customer's eyeballs and your storefront, so
yes.
you've got to make sure that works very well. And then, of course, things like plugins, that all those handy software components that make sure that your website works, your payment portal, your returns policy, how does that work, and
even
simple things like if your consumer wants to contact you, you got to have an email system that plugs into your portal.
Like to your courier guy who needs to do the deliveries, etc.
Plugging into your data warehouse system or your order management system.
Yeah. So basically, Cameron, on this module, what we're saying is as you're growing your business, you need to consider the place, the price, and the product.
Yes.
And make sure that you, as we've spoken, the place really is that portal, that website. Don't make it, let it not be perfect, but make sure that it works and that it's safe and reliable. The product really is, that's what you're selling, and make sure you understand whether it's going to be physical or virtual, and try not to just sell services, because that's hard work. And then really on so that's place, product, and price. And then in the next version, in the next module, we will be talking about promotion specifically.
That's exactly what we're going on. So,
any last thoughts around these first three P's?
So to summarize, guys, where most people get hung up on is building a beautiful website. And they are so hung up about building a beautiful website that they forget about, you've got to build a business. And that is the key takeout that I want the guys to really take note of. You've got to build a business in all its various forms, functions, and the things that you need to get right in building that particular business.
Fantastic advice from Cameron there for those who are thinking about growing your e-commerce business. Really, really good advice. We've got additional resources if you want to go and look. Check out Microsoft Azure. It's really, really an awesome solution if you want to host big data. Analytics is just brilliant. Remember that you can go and do stuff with your information that you will be collecting. There are various online business models. There's a couple of links there that we've given you if you want to go consider that some more. And then really, if there's a niche specific option you want to take, Cameron mentioned the yoga climbing, yoga practicing rock climbers. I mean, think about that. There could be a good niche. Make sure to check out our other module also on starting up your business the first 90 days about red waters versus blue waters. That's another resource that you can use. Thank you very much for watching this session with us on growing your business in the e-commerce space. Until next time, goodbye.